Zacchaeus House International Outreach Ministries presents Life Changing Radio. I'm Alex Lapos, and this is Impact. Listening to Sacramental Suicide. We're reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 53 to 63. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard it, they said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What and if ye see the Son of God ascend up to where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. These words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Sacramental religion is one of the greatest threats to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is sacramental religion? It's the belief that certain practices, ceremonies, and rituals performed by you or upon you through the ministry of a priest lead you to eternal life. It's the notion that natural substances, if they are sanctified, can be made holy, and that once they're applied to you or ingested by you, the life of God pours into you by virtue of the substances themselves. For example, go to your local baker, get a nice oven-fresh loaf of bread, and now go to the Quebec Liquor Commission and buy a bottle of red wine. If you're an evangelical, skip the wine and go to your local grocery store to purchase some grape juice. Now, what do you have? Just a simple hunk of bread and a snootful of the fruit of the vine. And these are perishable items that you consume and pass through the body. They're nothing special. They have no power other than to nourish or intoxicate your body. Now, take those to a priest and have him chant incantations for an hour over them. And you know what happens to that bread and wine? It's transformed into the literal, actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. Never mind the fact that it still looks like, smells like, and tastes like bread and wine. Make no mistake about it. It really is the body and blood of Jesus, just as real as if you were chewing on his finger or stuck a pin in his skin and collected the blood in a chalice. Now eat and drink this transformed bread and wine, and you know what you're doing? You're receiving Jesus himself through his body and blood. This bread and wine is pumping you full of the life of God. It's the sacrament itself that gives life, and that's the basis of your relationship with God. It's the means by which you are attached to the church. Without it, you can't be saved, you can't know God, and you can't be like Jesus. Without it, you're lost. Now, there are other things that can be done to you by a priest that also impart divine life. You can be doused with holy water. Apparently, it has some kind of power. You can be smeared with holy oil. You can have various things done to you that supposedly bring you closer to God. Of course, you have the option of praying and reading the Bible, and it's important to have faith, but that's not where the real power lies. The real power lies in the sacraments. In fact, these sacraments are so powerful that unless you expose yourself regularly to them, you will lose out with God. The sacraments are so potent that even if one is not a devout person, as long as he observes the sacraments, he can eventually go to heaven. They're so important that preaching is secondary. The proclamation of God's word is a tag-on or an afterthought because responding in faith to a message heard is not what connects you with God. No. It's the ritual, ceremonies, and sacraments. This is in spite of the fact that the Bible declares that through the foolishness of preaching, God is determined to save the world. Friends, I can't begin to imagine the spiritual damage inflicted upon the masses because of sacramental religion. It's false comfort. No amount of ingesting bread or wine is going to save you, even if the highest-ranking official of your church is administrating. The Bible is clear on this issue. It's faith that saves you, nothing else. But faith in what? Dead tradition? The glitter and sparkle of priests' robes? The stuff he puts in your mouth? The words he recites over you? The images you kiss with adoration? No, not one of these things can save you. Only faith that comes from hearing the Word of God and actively responding to it is effective. The Word of God will speak to you about many essential things, and you can go an entire lifetime in the sacramental church and never once hear about the vital truths that lead to salvation. But the Word of God will direct you to a person, Jesus Christ. It will tell you that God in Jesus was calling you back to Himself. The Word of God will tell you that you're separated from God and you need to connect with Him again. The Word of God will tell you that you're ignorant of God and you need to get to know Him. Only those who know Him will inherit eternal life. This is underscored by the fact that Jesus declares to those who think they are Christians but are not at the judgment, "I never knew you." What a shame it will be to trust in the authority of your church to save you and only to have Jesus tell you at the judgment that you're a stranger to Him. And yet, this is the fate that awaits millions. The Word of God will tell you that you're in a state of sin, deliberate rebellion against God. Sin leads to death. It will tell you that Jesus went to the cross to pay the penalty of your sin and to break its power over you. Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive right now. The Scriptures will declare that if you commit your life to Him as Lord and believe with all your heart that you have forgiveness through Him, God Himself will come to live in you, change your nature, and you will be one with Him. He'll literally pour Himself into you and stay there just because you believed and called on the name of Jesus. The Bible tells you that this happens without the aid of a priest and apart from any sacrament. Your faith is directed not to a perishable substance that symbolizes or substitutes for a spiritual reality. Your faith is not directed to bread, oil, wine, smoke, images, and men in robes who are just as sinful as you are and have absolutely no power to change anything regardless of who gives them their authority. No, your faith is directed to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the only true God, Jesus Christ, and He Himself changes you. He Himself gives you a passion for God and the desire to live for Him. He Himself gives you a thirst for His Word and a hunger for and a delight in His presence. Jesus becomes real to you, more real to you than your very breath. And all this takes place just because you believed what the Bible says about Him. Ephesians 2, chapter 8 says this, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." Nowhere in the Bible is the slightest suggestion made that any sacrament does anything for you that produces a spiritual change. And nor should we look to them for anything other than just symbolizing or representing what only Jesus can do in reality. Now, the two sacraments that all Christians practice are baptism and communion. Let's take a look at each. John the Baptist declared, "I can only baptize you with water. He who is coming," referring to Jesus, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And yet the Bible records Jesus never baptized anybody. If any kind of spiritual power or life was in the waters of baptism themselves, don't you think that Jesus would have made sure to baptize every single one of His disciples? But what does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that Jesus blew on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not the blowing on them that did it. Jesus did it. And when they were empowered by God in the upper room, tongues of fire came to rest upon each of their heads, not buckets of water. Now, baptism is important. Don't get me wrong and don't misquote me. The Lord commands us to initiate people into the faith through this symbolic ritual, but nowhere does the Bible tell us that spiritual life is imparted through baptism itself. Does communion impart spiritual life in itself? It's a good question. Jesus administered the first communion at the Last Supper. We all know that. But it's obvious that no spiritual power was passed on to any of His disciples as a result. Look what happened afterward. They immediately ran away from Him when He was arrested. One denied Him and another betrayed Him. And yet, Many days later, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, then they were transformed from being cowards into conquerors and proclaimed Jesus openly in spite of many death threats. So the bread and the wine did nothing for them, but the Holy Spirit himself, the third person of the Trinity, made all the difference in the world. So my friend, if you're relying on the sacraments of your religion to make you right with God inside the framework of your culture, not only are you wasting your time, but I believe you're under the condemnation of God even now. Friend, listen to the word. Believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose from the dead for you. Turn from your godless life and commit yourself to him. Only then will you be saved. This is the message that all of those deceived and blinded by sacramental religion need to hear, especially in the city of Montreal. People desperately need to become aware of the reality of Jesus. Sacramental religion has closed them up in prisons from which they need to escape, and what a grip it has over people's lives. It amazes me how people cling tenaciously to their sacramental religious heritage, and when the gospel is prevented, there is just a fear to let go and to commit to God. Even after someone from that kind of background is saved, they still have a very, very difficult time applying the truths of the Bible, living by faith in Jesus, committing yourself to him, and having him living in you and centering your life on the Word. It's so far removed from the sacramental religion that they know that they become confused and they struggle. And the reason is because sacramental religion and the truth of the Bible are mutually exclusive. They are incompatible. Sacramental religion cannot be supported biblically, no matter how hard you try. You'll have to go outside of Scripture to support it. And once you're outside of Scripture, you are on thin ice. However, this doesn't prevent the proponents of sacramental religion from appealing to the traditions of the church to support their doctrines and practices. My friends, that's the only place where they'll be able to support it. The pages of the Bible will offer no support whatsoever. If you're one of those who receive sacraments and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, you are committing sacramental suicide. But if you will confess your sin and acknowledge your need for him, receiving his forgiveness by faith, you can be saved and have absolute assurance that you're going to heaven and know him personally. There are many of those who have found Jesus who have come out of sacramental suicide. I happen to be one of them. And even those who have chosen to remain in these churches have found him and have gone beyond the rituals to reality. Why they remain in those churches is an issue that I'll take up at another time. But suffice it to say that in order for anyone to be saved, they must trust in Jesus and accept him into their hearts by faith, no matter what their religious tradition. Let me tell you how. Just pray this prayer with me, and it'll be done. No sacraments required. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe you died on the cross for my sins and you rose from the dead to empower me to live for God. I commit my life to you as Lord and Savior and invite the Holy Spirit to come to transform me into a child of God, to be led by him forever. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, you're saved. You have a relationship with God and you're on your way to heaven. If you'd like to write to me, you can do so at Impact with Alex Lapos, Post Office Box 106, Verdun, Quebec, Canada, H4G2Y7, or email me at zhouse@canada.com. Now this is Alex Lapos saying, may the Lord impact your life as you impact others for the Lord. Goodbye.